Good morning and welcome to worship. It's good to see you here. I'm going to hand over to Marion, who will take us through some of the intimations.
Welcome to our service of worship this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or a visitor. Visitors may wish to sign our visitor's book. Norman will lead us in worship for the last time next Sunday, 19th of April. He's retiring after more than 35 years at Cairney Hill, linked with lime kilns, and we wish him and Karen a long and happy retirement. Details of our plans to mark the occasion are now available from the welcome team. Please ask if you have not seen this information. Walking group. The next outing is on Sunday the 26th of April to the Broomhall Estate with a coffee stop at the Bruce Arms in Limekilns. Meet at 2 p.m. in the church car park. New arrangements for Sunday services. Following Norman's retirement, we will not be able to start the process of finding a new minister until the planned union with Limekilns and Cooris and Torryburn churches can go ahead. In the meantime, we will remain in linkage with Limekilns Church, and we have agreed with Limekilns that we will hold joint services every week starting from Sunday the 3rd of May. Services will take place at 10:30 a.m. and will be held in Cairney Hill and Limekilns alternately. We will meet in Cairney Hill on the first and third Sundays of each month and in Limekilns on the second and fourth Sundays. Where there is a fifth Sunday in May, August and November this year, services will be in Limekilns or Cairney Hill alternately. A full schedule of the relative dates and venues will be provided. Everyone is encouraged to travel to Limekilns when the service is taking place there, and car sharing is recommended. We will have visiting preachers to lead worship on certain Sundays, and our worship teams will also be involved. Services will also continue to be streamed and available to view online, either live or as a recording. Coffee morning. There will be a coffee morning on Saturday the 2nd of May between 10 a.m. and 12 noon. Please come along. If you can help to run the event, please add your name to the list in the vestibule. If anyone has any pre-loved items suitable for our bric-a-brac stall, please bring these along to the church or speak to Elaine to have them collected. There are further intimations on the printed sheet, and this can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you do not have a copy. And finally, for those on Zoom, here is a look at the order of service.
It's good to be in worship, good to be in God's presence. So let's sing to God's praise and glory, hymn number 110, Glory Be to God the Father.
Thank you.
Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, we ask you to receive and bless our offerings. We thank you for your grace and mercy toward us, and for that greatest gift of all, Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Receive from our hands our offering, revealing our love for you. Bless it and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, Marian is going to be leading us in our prayers.
I took my inspiration for today's prayer from some children's hymns that you may recognise. Let us draw near to God in prayer. Lord God, we have so much to thank you for. Thank you for every new good morning. Thank you for every fresh new day. Thank you that I may cast my burdens wholly onto you. Thank you for every friend I have, Lord. Thank you for everyone I know. Thank you when I can feel forgiveness for my greatest foe. Thank you for leisure and employment. Thank you for every heartfelt joy. Thank you for all that makes me happy, especially family, nature, and music. Thank you for every shade and sorrow. Thank you for comfort in your word. Thank you that I am guided by you everywhere I go. Thank you for grace to know your gospel. Thank you for all your Spirit's power. Thank you for your unfailing love, which reaches near and far. Thank you for the world so sweet. Thank you for the food we eat. Thank you for the birds that sing. Thank you, God, for everything. Merciful Lord, forgive us for taking all these things for granted. Forgive us everything that disfigures our life, the pride, greed, selfishness, and envy that alienate us not only from ourselves and others, but also and above all from you. Forgive us our unkind words, foolish deeds, and unworthy thoughts, our weakness of will and carelessness in discipleship. Work within us, and by your grace make us whole, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hymn number 417. Now the green blade riseth from the buried grain.
Thank you.
It will come as no great surprise to you that Bible readings for today are themed round resurrection. This period of time between Easter and Pentecost is a time where we turn to the stories of resurrection quite often. There is a psalm of praise. No doubt the disciples and friends of Jesus would have used such words to express their joy in knowing that Jesus was not dead, the tomb was empty, and resurrection a reality. It is absolutely right that we should celebrate Easter confidently and joyfully. Without Easter, there would be no Christian faith. Christianity is not a set of principles to follow, nor a philosophy to live by. Our faith is based on what Jesus did in his life, death, and resurrection. It is about this man, this human being, complete in his humanity, and yet the eternal Son of God. Our faith is all about God in Christ doing the impossible, or at least what is humanly speaking and by all earthly logic, something that cannot be. There is something in the resurrection stories that reveals a sense of confusion in the hearts, minds, and actions of the disciples. We quite possibly understand something of what the disciples go through on what we know as Easter Saturday, as they look back to crucifixion without resurrection. The accounts in the Gospels of that Sabbath don't tell us anything. There is no word of what was happening. But I kind of imagine the disciples sitting and trying to think about what had just happened to them. And as I was thinking about that, I remembered a song from the rock opera or film, Jesus Christ Superstar. There's a song called, Could We Start Again, Please? I've been living to see you, dying to see you, but it shouldn't be like this. This was unexpected. What do I do now? Could we start again, please? On Easter Saturday, if they could go back in time, what would they change? What would they do? With the benefit of hindsight, would they be wiser? Would they be braver? Would they save Jesus? On this Sunday, a week after Easter, as we read about Jesus appearing to his disciples, not just on the day of resurrection, but a week later when Thomas is with them, what was going through their minds? We might wonder if the hope in the risen Jesus was the answer. Could we start again, please? Maybe they could put the failures of the past behind them and go forward as better disciples, more faithful friends. The very fact that the Gospels record how badly they failed Jesus at his arrest and their struggle to believe in the resurrection tells us that they wanted these things to be remembered. They want us to know that the resurrection changed everything. Jesus changes everything. Nothing will be the same again. We're going to read the very last of the Psalms in the book of Psalms, a psalm of praise, and then the story of Jesus appearing to his disciples, really two stories, one on the day of resurrection and one a week later. Our reader this morning is Irene.
The first reading this morning is from Psalm 150, verses 1 to 6. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The second reading today is from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31, called Jesus Appears to the Disciples. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for the fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with this he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put a finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hands and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not recorded in this book. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, believing you may have life in his name. Amen.
Hymn 553, "Just As I Am, Without One Plea."
Thank you.
In the midst of all our tidying and trying to sort out things in the manse, there are occasional packs of photographs and sometimes just a lone photograph sitting there from times that have almost been forgotten. It is interesting in these things bringing back memories, but maybe even a little more strange when we find photos that are of a time or a place that we just don't remember. I wish I'd written on the back of the photographs where we were. There is a sense in which the resurrection stories are a bit like a series of photos, snapshots of a moment. We are presented with a brief moment, but with many gaps. The story we read from John's Gospel begins on Easter Sunday and then jumps to a week later. No explanation of what happened during the week. No explanation why Thomas was missing that first day and present a week later. The end of chapter 20 reads like a conclusion. And obviously somebody came along and said, oh, do you remember? Another snapshot. Chapter 1 reads like the discovery of another photograph, another snapshot of what was happening in those post-resurrection days. Each of the Gospels gives us different pictures from the weeks following Jesus' resurrection. Jesus was not with his disciples in the same way he was before his crucifixion. That lack of information and continuity seems a bit strange. This is such an important time for the disciples, and if it comes to it, an important time for us. Why is so little recorded? Maybe it is thinking back over our own lives that helps us understand a bit of what is happening here. There are certain times in my life where my memory is patchy, to say the least. Strangely, really important moments of life are not clearly remembered. I'm surprised at how little I remember of moments of great joy and moments of great grief. Now, I didn't put it in the script, but I said it down at Limekilns, and a number of people laughed when I said, I have almost no memory of my marriage service. Although it was an important day, but virtually nothing remembered. But equally, I remember almost nothing of my sister's funeral service. Was I so caught up in the moment that I didn't commit those things to memory? Is that what the disciples were doing? Caught up in the moment and not able to remember clearly all the details of that time between resurrection and ascension? And often remembering things that seem so inconsequential. Like Jesus proving he was there by eating a bit of fish. Was that important? One of my memories from my marriage service was a moment where I realized I put my car keys in the wrong pocket. What a daft thing to remember. What they do remember clearly is the fear they had that first day of that new week. Luke gives us a story that comes in between the two stories we've just read in John about disciples heading away from Jerusalem. the possibility is they're getting out of Jerusalem quickly before anything happens. The disciples were quick to dismiss the message that the women brought back from their visit to the tomb early on the first day of the week. Thomas is no different in struggling to believe what his fellow disciples said about meeting with Jesus. The disciples were not naive or easily misled. They were well aware of the realities of life and the finality of death. Oh yes, they had witnessed Lazarus walking from his tomb, and yes, Jesus had performed a great miracle, but none of that can take away from the brutal reality of death by crucifixion. We like to think of Thomas as somehow representing our modern world by requiring physical proof of Jesus' presence. We may even feel some sympathy for Thomas, forever associated with doubt. Even in our secular age, people will occasionally say, "Don't be a doubting Thomas," though I doubt if they know who Thomas was. We have a common theme in all of the resurrection stories, and that is a failure to recognize Jesus, or in recognizing Jesus, a failure to believe that he is physically there, and then a realization that Jesus really is there. Through the centuries, and particularly in these later times, many explanations have been offered to account for the resurrection that avoids the possibility of Jesus dead and buried and then meeting with his disciples. The explanations that have been offered to us have ranged from a kind of fraud based on the disciples having invested too much in Jesus as Messiah, to some kind of mass hallucination because of their grief. There have been more physical explanations, things like Jesus was not completely gone when they put him into the tomb, and in the cool of the tomb, in some way, he had revived. There are problems with all of these explanations because they require an even more difficult explanation to make them real. Crucifixion was brutal. Even if Jesus were not dead, he would not have been walking around a couple of days later. The disciples were grieving, but as we've already said, they're not naive. They know about life and death. They will have met death before and would have understood that Jesus was gone. And if resurrection were a lie, where did they get the courage to die for what was not true? Because many of the disciples were themselves executed for their faith. The resurrection stories reveal the struggle to believe. Following Pentecost, and particularly as the gospel spread beyond Judea and Judaism, the resurrection became a problem. There were many ready to accept Jesus as having been a great teacher, maybe even the founder of a new religious movement. But the big stumbling block was crucifixion and resurrection. Many in the world said, "Lose that, and Jesus is okay." When we read the stories recorded in the Gospels and the beginning of Acts, there is something real in the snapshots of that time. I can imagine those who witnessed the risen Jesus agreeing with those who doubted, because they themselves had doubted. Many of us sympathize with Thomas. We recognize his struggle to believe. Not that he is calling the others liars, Rather, he cannot comprehend the man he saw on a cross as alive and speaking to the others. He needs to see Jesus, to touch the wounds. And in seeing Jesus, Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." If legend is correct, Thomas will carry the gospel further than any of the other disciples. There is a story that he reached India with the gospel. We don't know whether it is true or not, but there's a wee bit in me that likes to think that Thomas, who is ever known for his doubt, is the one who took the gospel further than anybody else. We, like Thomas and the others, like Christians down through the ages, are those who have come to that place where we look at Jesus and say, "My Lord and my God." Not because we can explain the purposes of God, but because we find that Jesus truly is Lord and Saviour. Not because we can explain resurrection, but because we know that he is crucified and risen, that he really is the name above all names. That little quotation that I found for today's sermon: "A dead Christ I must do everything for, a living Christ does everything for me." We are those who declare that Jesus is everything to us and does everything for us, that our faith is not based on principles but on person, the person of Jesus, who took our lives, took our death, and gives us his life and his resurrection. We are those who say, like Thomas, "My Lord and my God." Amen. Hymn number 263, "God of Freedom, God of Justice." So to our prayers for other people, Again, Marian is leading us in prayer.
Let us pray. Suffering Saviour, broken for all, we bring to you our fractured world, scarred by so many gaping wounds. We pray for the hungry and homeless, victims of famine, disaster, war or oppression, denied not just the bare essentials of life, but also the resources and opportunity to work for change. Risen Lord, bring hope and new beginnings. We pray for the sick and suffering, those wrestling with illness or disease, those disabled in mind or body, those coming to terms with the prospect of death. Risen Lord, bring hope and new beginnings. We pray for the sorrowful, those hurt or betrayed in relationships, whose dreams have been shattered, those mourning loved ones. Risen Lord, bring hope and new beginnings. We pray for those who have experienced evil, victims of violence, war and terrorism, of crime and corruption, of physical, sexual or verbal abuse. Risen Lord, bring hope and new beginnings. We pray for our community and for our church, Lord, in this time of change. We pray for a spirit of trust and harmony, love and acceptance, so that respecting our differences, we may work together as one people with one goal. Risen Lord, bring hope and new beginnings. Amen.
Sorry, I just glanced at the clock. If you feel it's been a long service, we're now at 12 a.m. There must have been a power cut.
We've had two or three.
So, to conclude our service, we remember that Jesus is Son of God, Eternal Saviour, hymn number 468. now to declare that Jesus truly is Lord and God. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.